I had asked Kristen which pillar we would be exploring this Sunday, and she said gratitude. So we began sharing some ideas, and I started talking about this class that I teach at Kaiser Addiction Medicine Clinic on gratitude. And she lit up and said, "Want to do the talk on Sunday?" And as a psychotherapist who encourages clients to lean into and embrace that which is uncomfortable, here was an opportunity for me to lean into and embrace that which arose a great deal of discomfort in me. So I am grateful to be sharing with you today the eighth and final pillar of the series, which is gratitude. This practice of gratitude is said to be one of the greatest spiritual practices. And we'll unpack that a little bit more today. So in my work with individuals with substance abuse disorders and mental health concerns, I teach the very practical practice of gratitude as a way of healing and relieving suffering, backed, of course, by modern neuroscience, which we will also get into a little bit more today. So in my work with addiction medicine, I seldom use the term recovery. Instead, I see more as my role is to help my clients to evolve into their best and highest self. And this is what resonated with me as I began my own personal journey from suffering to evolution into my best and highest self. And one thing that I'm very clear about is one of the pillars that has carried me through and remains one of my primary practices in my own evolution is the practice of gratitude. So His Holiness says, "Every day, think as you wake up, I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life, and I'm not going to waste it." The Archbishop is said to greet every experience with "wonderful." So it is indeed this ability to see wonder, surprise, and possibility in each experience, each moment, each encounter, that is a core aspect of joy. Each experience, each encounter, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, to meet them with "wonderful." Perhaps this is why some say that the practice of gratitude is the ultimate spiritual practice. So now, I come from a long line of sufferers, of unconscious resistors to all experience, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Joy just simply didn't seem to be in the preview of my people. It would seem that we were always just in a sustained fight or flight mode. My parents, eighth grade graduates, my mother was raised in poverty. They married young. Excuse me. Had 5 children in rapid succession. They seem to be hardwired into their DNA that life is suffering and then you die. Substance abuse, violence, and mental illness shaped the first 36 years of my life. At age 36, I was sitting in a small room that I rented, feeling that I simply had no more fight or flight. A very good friend of mine, Jeannie Donahue, gave me a book. The book was called Awakening the Buddha Within by Lama Surya Das. This book began my journey of evolution into my best and highest self. It was in this book that I learned that, yes, life was suffering, or dukkha, meaning hard to bear or dissatisfactory. But this arose from attachment. It arose from seeking satisfaction in ways that are inherently unsatisfying. Intrigued, I read on, because there was good news. So the good news was that there was a way to be free of this, what seemed to be inherent suffering, hardwired, potentially it seemed, into our DNA. Therein lied a promise and a path that laid out for me to not only be free from my long line of sufferers, love them as I do, but to learn how to be with and even cultivate this very alien feeling of joy. So I literally had what felt like a Saul moment. The scales fell from my eyes, my heart began to awaken. And it was in that moment that I grasped the truth that joy was a thing. And I had the power to cultivate happiness in my changing world. I started attending my local sangha, started meditating, reading loads of spiritual self-help books. And maybe the boldest move of all, at 36, I enrolled in community college. So now my journey of awakening to my best and highest self has not been linear, but the one practice that has been and remains the pillar for me is the spiritual practice of gratitude. His Holiness describes gratitude in this way. Gratitude is the recognition of all that holds us in the web of life and all that has made it possible to have the life that we have and the moment we are experiencing. Gratitude researcher Dr. Robert Emmons defines gratitude as a life orientation towards noticing and appreciating the positive in the world. Over the past 15 years, there have been hundreds of studies that have documented the social, physical, and psychological benefits of cultivating this practice of gratitude. Now, since ancient times, philosophers and sages of every spiritual and religious tradition have taught that cultivating gratitude is the key to experiencing deeper levels of happiness, fulfillment, and well-being. So it's not new. But the fact that modern neuroscience can track how the practice of gratitude boosts neurotransmitters such as dopamine, serotonin, and the hormone oxytocin, which are all associated with well-being and having a more positive outlook on life, allows me to teach this evidence-based practice of gratitude in a clinical setting. So science is supporting what many religious and spiritual traditions have been predicating for a millennia. Gratitude is good. Gratitude is a pillar for lasting happiness in a changing world. Let's sing along with Karen Drucker, Grateful.
Grateful. It's all about gratitude. So sing with me now. This is your part. You're just going to sing this.
Grateful, so grateful I am. Grateful for all the love that I have.
That's the whole thing.
Grateful, so very grateful I am. Grateful for all the love that I have. I am grateful, so grateful I am. Grateful for all the love that I have. Everywhere I look and every face I see is love reflected, shining back to me. I just give thanks for all these simple things, the joy and peace that gratitude brings. That's why I'm grateful, so very grateful I am. Grateful for all the love that I have. I am grateful, so grateful I am. Grateful for all the love that I have. Now, Every day I wake before I open my eyes, I count my blessings and I realize life is a miracle when I see it that way. I focus on the beauty, that's why I've got to say how I'm grateful, so very grateful. I am grateful for all the love that I have. I am grateful, oh, so grateful. I am grateful for all the love that I have.
Sing this now.
I said so grateful.
Let me hear you.
Grateful. Grateful for all the love that I have. I am so grateful, so grateful. I am grateful for all the love. I'm so grateful, grateful. I am grateful. I am for all the love that I have.
Sing now.
Grateful for all my friends, and I am grateful for this wonderful life. I am
grateful for
my wonderful life. I am grateful for my radiant health. I am grateful for my radiant health. And I am grateful for my abundance. I am grateful for the joy in my heart. I am grateful for the joy in my heart. And now I'm grateful for all the peace that I feel. Oh, I do feel that now. Oh yes, the peace that I feel. And now I'm grateful for every blessing. Grateful for every blessing. Grateful for.
So what are you grateful for right now in this moment? I'm grateful. I'm grateful. So grateful.
So in the Book of Joy that we've been using for this series, the author notes that neither the Archbishop Desmond Tutu or His Holiness the Dalai Lama seem to spend a great deal of time talking about enjoyment, perhaps because their traditions are skeptical of finding pleasure in sensual experiences. However, he did note that neither of them were opposed to Tibetan rice pudding or rum raisin ice cream. In fact, he goes on to write that gratitude is the elevation of enjoyment, the ennobling of enjoyment. Indeed, we learn from these two spiritual masters and from research psychologist Dr. Paul Ekman that gratitude is a key dimension of joy. So, in my personal journey, as I began to awaken through following the practices of Buddhism, gratitude naturally began to awaken within me. I began awakening each day with excitement, this eagerness for what was to come. Now, awakening after 36 years of self-imposed suffering, my life was a bit chaotic and messy. Yet there was this joy that was beginning to awaken. No one told me to cultivate gratitude. I was grateful naturally for the awakening. And indeed, this grateful heart elevated my enjoyment in all things. Now, I was a full-time non-traditional student at night. I worked full-time days. I had healing and repairing to do in my soul, my family, my relationships. And I had college algebra. Yet this awakening to joy, fueled by my natural arising gratitude, made it not only all doable, But I would be so bold as to say that because of the naturally arising gratitude, it elevated my joy in all of it. So, as I began graduate school and to become a psychotherapist, I discovered the teachings of Deepak Chopra and Dr. Alan Marlett. Now, these are two very different teachers. Deepak, a spiritual guru, and Dr. Marlett is a research psychologist. So while engrossed in the writings of both of these teachers, I began to understand that I could actively cultivate greater states of well-being even in unpleasant and difficult situations. Deepak, of course, taught me gratitude as a spiritual practice. His teachings offered me a greater sense of magic, mystery, and wonder of this human experience, which would ultimately lead me to unity, which is another story in and of itself. Dr. Marlett's research and teachings introduced me to the concept of coping skills, and that through the cultivation of effective coping skills, I could evolve into my best and highest self at an accelerated rate if I took action. Both of these teachers taught that gratitude could be cultivated to create greater states of well-being. So what I began to awaken to, and what Archbishop Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama are teaching us, is that we elevate gratitude to a spiritual practice when we can see the gift in all of our experiences, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. This, of course, can be quite difficult and counterintuitive, for sure. But these great spiritual teachers and these great researchers, psychological researchers, offer some very practical coping skills to cultivate gratitude, thus elevating our joy and our overall well-being, even in difficulty. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, encouraged us to see every moment as a gift, as there is no certainty that there will be another moment, and to see the opportunity in each of those moments. The first gift is the moment itself. The second gift is the opportunity that the moment provides for us for growth and evolution. Most often, this opportunity is to enjoy the moment, but sometimes a difficult gift is given. And that can be our opportunity to rise to the challenge. This is where gratitude for whatever the moment provides or offers becomes quite possibly the ultimate spiritual practice. His Holiness's ability to be grateful in exile, a profound shift in perspective, allowing him to not only accept the reality of his circumstances, but also to see the opportunity in each experience. We are then challenged to shift our perspective and look for the gift within the gift of each moment, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The Archbishop Desmond Tutu was awed by His Holiness's ability to find gratitude even in 50 years of exile and suffering for himself and for his people. His Holiness's response, it is much more enriching, much more useful. Deepak Chopra draws a powerful equivalency between the physical and mental well-being resulting from gratitude and the development of higher spirituality, even as we explore the root of the word gratitude. So gratitude comes from the Latin root gratus, meaning pleasing, welcome, agreeable. Gratis is also the root of a related terms such as grace, gratuity, and gratis, all signifying moods, positive moods, actions, and ideas. So in his article, Sowing the Seeds of Gratitude, Deepak Chopra explains that they all come from the Proto-Indo-European root guir, meaning to praise, to celebrate, to be in contact with the divine. Now there's some unity speak. Gratitude brings us into closer contact with the divine. So while an attitude of gratitude naturally began arising in me, elevating my enjoyment of my personal journey, grasping this idea from both my spiritual teachers and the psychologists that I studied, that I could take action to create greater states of well-being, bringing me into closer contact with the divine and elevating my enjoyment of each moment through conscious gratitude practices, I was all in. So then I came across the writings of Rabbi Spinoza, a 17th century philosopher, and he encouraged at the end of the day that we answer three questions. Who or what inspired me today? What brought me happiness today? And what brought me comfort and deep peace today? I took a large piece of paper and I taped it back to the back of my bathroom wall so that every night the last thing I saw as I was leaving the bathroom was these three questions. So I would pause, reflect, and answer these three questions. This action, this practice, elevated my gratitude and made me more conscious of each moment. You know how when you begin a practice, then I looked for these things in my day. Now, while my journey has not been linear, I know that I have the coping skills. I know that I have the spiritual tools to take action in orienting my life towards noticing and appreciating the positives in the world. And I will continue to evolve into my best and highest self as I look with gratitude for the gift within the gift of each moment. I invite you to say our affirmation with me. Through the practice of gratitude, I elevate my joy, affirming the gift within the gift of each moment.